Hope you have your Bibles with you this morning, and if you will, turn with me, please, to John chapter 15, John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. You'll find that on page 1137. If you have a King James Bible, Scofield Bible, page 1137, John 15. First part of verse number 16, Jesus is speaking, and he says in verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." My subject this morning is the power to choose. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that we've had this morning, and we ask your continued blessing upon our service. We pray, Father, that you'll anoint me with thy spirit to preach your word. I pray, Father, to go out and not return void as you promised. If there are those here without Christ, I pray that they might receive him today and come to him. And I'm sure if we look down into the hearts of all those who are here today, there's people carrying burdens today, people going some difficult, troublesome times, and maybe financial and physical problems, all kinds of things going on in our lives. But I pray for the next few minutes, you'll bind Satan from our minds and from our midst, and bless your word as it goes out. Save those who are lost, reclaim those who are backslidden, and work in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You and I are what we are today because of the choices that we've made all of our lives up to this point. Your whole life is a life of continuous series of decisions. You choose to be obedient or you choose to be disobedient. You choose to pray or you choose not to pray. You choose to come to church this morning or you choose to stay home. A lot of people have chosen to stay home today. You choose to make Sunday a day of worship or a day of pleasure. You choose to make the Lord's Day a holy day or a holiday. You choose whether you're going to do your best or just get by. You make choices about your purchases, about your emotions, about your relationships. People who blame somebody else for their circumstances have forgotten the fact that we make our own choices in life. You make a decision if you're going to drink alcoholic beverages or not. Someone may influence you, but you make the decision yourself. And I'm sure you saw in the paper or heard on the news a couple of 3 weeks ago, this shindig that they had down at St. Boniface Church and had the picture in the paper. You probably all have seen this. Three of their pastors there, three pastors with a bottle of beer in their hands and, of course, goes on to drink the beer. If I ever went into church and found out the pastor drank beer, I'd get out of there as quick as I could. You may choose to use tobacco or not. Again, someone may influence you, but you make that choice yourself. All through the scriptures, we find men and women making choices, some for good and some for bad. Joshua made a choice, a good choice, when he said in the scriptures read a few moments ago, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Everybody here in this room ought to be able to say that. Elijah asked the people of his day to make a similar choice. Go with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings, please. 1 Kings chapter 18. That'll be on page 412 of your King James Scofield Bible. 1 Kings chapter 18, and look with me at verse number 21. "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." Now turn over with me to the New Testament, to Luke chapter 10, please. Luke's Gospel and the 10th chapter, page 1089 in your Scofield Bible. Two sisters faced a choice and they made a decision. Luke 10 verses 41 and 42. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Mary made the right choice. Samson chose to tell Delilah the secret of his strength. That was a huge mistake. Saul chose to be jealous of David. That was a big mistake. David chose to commit adultery with Bathsheba, another huge mistake. Jonah chose to flee to Tarshish and disobeyed God, which was the wrong thing to do. Daniel chose to pray, even though he was told to do so would violate the law of the Medes and the Persians. But Daniel made the right choice. It was not a mistake. He did the right thing to do. A few weeks ago, Sue Boris went to the doctor to get checked up and found out that she has cancer. And he said, we've got to operate, and you're going to have to go through chemotherapy for a while. That's a huge mistake. Sue was not a mistake, but a huge thing she had to answer to. What was she going to do? Am I going to have the surgery? Am I going to have the chemo? What am I going to do? I'm sure she had a little influence from her two daughters. But then she finally made the decision herself because ultimately it had to boil down to her. I'm glad she made the decision she did. Most people take for granted the capacity to make a choice and do not understand. This is one of the most powerful gifts that God ever equipped man with. The power to choose is an awesome responsibility. Choices made early in life give direction that often cannot be altered. You and I make choices, and today we are the result of those choices. The first thing we need to realize is that the power to choose is a divine privilege that God has given to us. Turn with me in your Bibles now, please, to the book of Beginnings. That's the book of Genesis and the third chapter, right down to the front of the Bible. And if you can't find it, it's on page 9. We see in this chapter Adam and Eve making a choice in verses 16 and 17. We see that God gave them this choice. Look at verse number 16 of Genesis chapter 3. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And all the husbands out there said, amen. Amen. Let's go on. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. God said, Adam, don't do it. Don't eat of that. Don't do it. If you do, it's going to result in your physical death and spiritual death. But they didn't listen to God. And Adam and Eve made their choices. Now, why do you suppose man a choice? God made us to fellowship with him and to express love toward him. If he made us robots, no one will ever love God. No one, we'll never love each other. If God just made us robots, we want people to love us. God wants people to love us because of our own free will to do so. Even with all the sufferings and war and crime and diseases in this world, would you rather be a robot with no choice of your own? I don't think so. We want the freedom of choice. We want the freedom to believe God because we want to believe him. So God gave you and me the tremendous privilege of choice. Choices are kind of like dominoes. One choice affects another decision next week, next year, and on and on. The choices you make on an ongoing daily basis sometimes seem to be so very insignificant. But if you and I are going to live lives obedient to God, every single choice we make is very important. And you need to know that choice involves pressure and a lot of pressure. There are pressures that you and I have to face in decision making. There are external pressures. Our parents, our marriage partners, our children, our fellow employees, our friends, all are a tremendous influence in the decisions that you and I make. Our first grandson, Kyle, and his new bride made a choice recently that they was going to leave our beautiful state of Indiana and go down to Charleston, South Carolina. I don't know why. I don't know why they made this decision. The only thing I pray is that it was in God's perfect will. Now, they both got jobs down there, and same things seem to be working out fine for them. But I don't know why they made that choice. In my 40 years of ministry, I have seen scores and scores of people make decisions that wasn't in God's plan for them. They got out of God's perfect will for them. They got into his permissive will, which is not nearly as good as God's perfect will. Another pressure we face is the media. What we see and hear brings a subconscious pressure upon us. Also, there are habits we develop that influence our choices. We also have internal pressures, primarily our old carnal nature and the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, if you had no carnal nature, if you were absolutely pure and sanctified, there would be no conflict. You would choose the right thing every time you had a choice to make. But when we face a choice, the old nature says, gratify the flesh, while God says, listen to God and obey God. And we must make the decision each and every time whether to obey the Spirit or not obey Him. Every commandment of God, every precept, every principle of Scripture is given for our protection and provision by a loving God. And the warnings of Scripture are warnings of future consequences of wrong choices. God puts great pressure upon us, but always it's a pressure that's based on His motive of love. He wants us to always make the right choices, but He will not force us to be obedient. You can expect the pressure from the Holy Spirit to protect you from doing wrong. The power to choose also involves a basic principle. What is that basic principle? I cannot answer that for you. But there is something that motivates you and gives you direction. Your motive may be in asking, will this bring me pleasure? Or will this profit me? Or you may be motivated by a desire for prestige and the approval of others. But these are not acceptable in the eyes of God. Rather, you need to ask this question, is this in keeping with the Lord's will for my life? Will this choice influence others for good? So the only thing that really matters is this. Is this choice obedient or is it disobedient? The basic principle of your life will determine the way you make choices in every area of your life. Then there's another aspect to the power of choice, and that is personal responsibility. Eve said, Satan made me do it. Adam said, this woman you gave me, she made me do it. Dear folks, we are personally responsible for the choices that we make. Others may give you advice, but you are the one that must make the choice. Well, so-and-so said that this was the thing we ought to do, and so we did it. Well, maybe so-and-so is right, and maybe so-and-so is wrong, but you are the one that makes the choice, and you must live with the choice that you make. When my wife and I got married 56 years ago next month, I said to her, honey, I'm going to let you make all the small decisions in our marriage. And I'm going to make all of the big decisions. Would you believe in these 56 years, there's never been one big decision that's ever come up? I made the choice to the person that I was going to marry. I had several choices, by the way. Just ask her. Next to my receiving Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, choosing her as my future wife was the best decision I ever made. Over 40 years ago, I made the choice of starting a church. Considering all of the circumstances, that would have been a very unwise thing to do, as many told me it would be. But now as I look back over 40 years of the ministry, I can see that that was God's perfect will for my life. When I was a young boy playing basketball and baseball and other sports down at Linwood Grade School, just a few blocks from here, I made the choice back in the fifth or sixth grade that I would never use tobacco, that I would never drink any kind of alcoholic beverages, that I would never cuss or swear or take the Lord's name in vain, and that I would never use drugs. Those were good choices to make, and I'm glad I made those choices, and I'm so thankful for the grace of God that has helped me to keep all those things. I know there is so much peer pressure on our young people today to use drugs and alcohol and tobacco and be sexually promiscuous, but they can't blame peer pressure. They are the ones that make the choice. Young people, stand up to peer pressure. Stand up for what is right and what is good. You don't have to follow the crowd. The crowd's usually going in the wrong direction. Be like Daniel in the Bible and say, I will not defile my body. I will not defile my family. I will not defile my God. Yes, you can say no. There may be times when you are unable to choose different circumstances, but you can always have the power to choose the right attitude about those circumstances. Yes, life is full of choices, and you can't escape them. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to control your life, if you'll pray much, if you'll study God's Word, if you'll be faithful in church attendance and be a witness for Christ, you're going to make the right choices most every time. Yes, the power to choose is an awesome power. Yet ultimately, you are accountable to God for all the choices that you make. What you're going to be 10 years from now will be determined by the choices you make right now. And I challenge all of you to choose God's perfect will. And it is His will that none should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance and trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, why not this morning? It's time to make a choice for Christ and not against Him. And you will make a choice. If you don't choose Christ, then you're choosing whatever else. Don't do that. Don't go down that road. Receive Him as your Savior and start living for Him. And you'll make the right choices. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for the wonderful, awesome privilege of choice that You've given to us. We thank You for that. And I'm sure everyone in this auditorium would have to confess that they've made some wrong choices. And we thank You that You forgive us and You give us another chance to start all over again. How thankful we are for that. I pray, Father, if there's one in this auditorium that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, at the invitation, they'll come and take Him as their Lord and Savior. I ask You to bless the invitation. I pray that You'll help folks to make decisions this morning, make choices this morning, that 100 years from now they'll be glad they made. I pray for the young people in our church. I pray that You'll help them to make the right choices and not to defile the God of glory. Bless the invitation now, as only You can do, in Jesus' name, amen.